Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock, and I have Bobby Welch with me.
Hey, Pat. Good day.
Yeah, this is a great topic. In fact, I was so happy when you submitted it. I thought it was wonderful. How to convert a cold agent into a funding partner. Well, that is the theme of the year, that's for sure. So with production at 2.5 units per loan officer, there are obviously a lot of cold agents. So I was so glad that you came with this topic. So I think it's important maybe to start with the big picture. And I wanted to share, before you share your insights, is a couple things about real estate agents that I think so often the loan officers don't think about. And this is information that was on the Real Estate Agent University. And they have a data sheet on really everything you'd want to know about realtors. And the one that I think is really pretty interesting is that 76% of the realtors make under $75,000.
76%.
Right.
Wow.
And
okay.
Only 3% make over $250,000 a year. So I think when you think about that, it says a lot about that. And certainly other information that the National Realtor Association has generated, that the average realtor does maybe one transaction a month, and that totals for obviously 12 in a year. So we're talking about that this is an industry, the real estate agent industry, where there would be a lot of cold agents. I mean, that would be the truth. You know? And I think that's something that loan officers too often forget, that the really great agents are only 3% of, and there's roughly around 400,000 agents in the United States that are actively producing, you know, transactions, versus there's a lot of realtors that don't do any transactions. They're just realtors in name. So I thought that was interesting information. And the other thing that they also have an analysis on, which is called really, what do they do each day? What does the average realtor do each day? And they list through what their day looks like. And it starts with checking recent activity on MLS hot sheets. They prepare for presenting a house for open house. They call clients and allies and competitors to get frequent updates on the market. They're obviously qualifying potential buyer clients. And, you know, they're obviously looking at advertising listings. And so they have a pretty jam-packed day. And then when you look at, they even outline what their time is, starting roughly at 7:30 in the morning and ending at 6 or 7 o'clock each night. So it's a hard job, no question about it. And I think that that really leads into Bobby talking about, when you have a cold agent, how would you move that agent into being, forming a partnership with, let's say, a newer a loan officer or an experienced loan officer?
Yeah. So, wow, you actually just covered a lot of interesting stats.
Yeah.
And here's how I would simplify what I wanted to talk about today, because you introduced a couple of very important ideas. The first one is the importance of pre-qualifying an agent up front. You know, and in fact, a lot of times when you go to really great sales training, prospecting and pre-qualifying are often taught together.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, spending time in front of agents is great. And honestly, a lot of loan officers could use some additional focus on spending more of their time in front of agents, but spending in time in front of the right agents is even better. And so there's that idea, because you shared a lot of stats about a lot of agents that we probably don't want to invest too much time in. And I kind of want to take that idea though, but and set it to the side. And mm-hmm. The reason why is because we could talk 20 minutes just on that.
Right.
And what I'd like to maybe focus on instead is, let's just suppose that you found an agent that you definitely want to do business with. And If you take a look at most top performers, they've got 3 to 5 key agents that really drive most of their business. But then they've got a stable, you know, a good 10 plus agents that can at least fund one loan every rolling 90 days with them. And that's a pretty healthy way to build your business and let those agents upgrade. But the big question becomes, let's say you meet a new lead and they're worthy of the attention. How the heck do you turn them from little known lead and pull them into your sphere of influence and actually get them to fund a loan with you? And in my mind, there's 3 important conditions that you need to create in order to execute on that idea. And the first one, and I know you and I have talked about this just off to the side before, is the importance of being able to isolate unmet needs or wants that you can actually perform for them. And in order to do that, you've got to move out of what I would say is the old presentation mode in which you try to tell an agent why they should do business with you and move more toward a process in which you allow your agents to self-discover why they'd want to do business with you. And that's as simple as learning to sell by asking a heck of a lot more questions than you do making statements, right? And I know that's something because, in fact, I remember, gosh, even years ago, you and I were doing some joint training in North Carolina, and that was a big part of what we spent time telling these guys about is ask questions instead.
Right. That's easier said than done. And we'll have to do another podcast on that one.
That's exactly right. But here's what I can tell you about the types of questions you do want to ask, though, is you want to figure out pointed questions that can uncover the 2 types of needs that really exist. And the first one is obvious, and that's the needs that the agent already knows they have. So you uncover those by asking questions like, you know, hey, you know, what do you expect from a lender? Or what are some things that you've had, you know, in your previous lending relationships that you really liked and that are important to you? And those type of questions, that's what they know they want. The really skilled originator, though, they're going after questions that uncover needs that the agent may not even know they have yet. And figuring out how to then align what the loan officer can do for them. So those might be, you know, questions like, you know, hey, you know, what are your goals for the next 12 months as far as where you want to take your business? And, you know, what are the big ideas you're going to use to move your business in that direction and start to drill down on what the agent is going to need in order to fulfill the business goals that they have over the next 12 months and then introduce something that you can do. And, you know, and just using a rough idea, maybe you happen to be a social media whiz.
Right.
And it comes up in that line of questioning that, you know, I need to get more active on social media. Well, boom, there's a new unmet need. That's something that in the back of their head, they kind of knew that they needed, but it wasn't front and center just yet. And you pulled it out. You got them out of their daily routine. You got them to think and talk about something that's more strategic and forward focusing. And now you can move them toward it. So that's what I mean by the needs and the wants.
Right. And so when you're talking about, again, obviously they're going to, you know, relive their prior experience with other originators. And all you have to do is go on to ActiveRain and you can see what realtors think about originators many times. And so, but the more interesting issue and probably the better way to take a cold agent to a funding partner is the second point that you just made, which really, if I can redefine it, it seems to me that needs that they don't know that they have is really about an education component. And that's really what the originator needs to focus on, educating this unmet need that the person doesn't even know about.
Absolutely. And you do that by creating brand new needs.
Right.
Which is, you know, like the social media idea. So it's like, okay, I kind of knew I needed it, but not really. And so now it's fine. But you can also do it by upgrading expectations. So maybe finding things that didn't work so well or haven't been working so well or have been creating friction in the process that they have had in the past with other lenders and then showing them a better way.
So what is your thoughts of when you look at the marketplace today, and I certainly hear this from lenders I talk to, and when I talk to people that are kind of future looking, is that they see the role of the originator having to be more along the lines of also generating business for the realtor, but not necessarily through a joint marketing service agreement. In other words, just this whole concept of a more in-depth relationships where you're helping them and they're helping you.
Absolutely. And I think the one spin that I would put on it is people, they get a little too narrow in their focus of what activity they believe is helping the realtor build their business. And so a lot of times the loan officer thinks that means, for every loan that they get from the agent, they need to figure out a way to get a loan back. Certainly sending a pre-qualified buyer to the agent as a surprise today is a great way to seal loyalty. But when you take a look at the top five things that a borrower looks for when they're buying a house, which, are things like community, the commute, the type of schools in the area. I mean, these are the real reasons why borrowers choose the house that they choose. Right. Nowhere on that top five list is mortgage. Like, mortgage is an inconvenient step to, and if we're just shooting honest, right? It's just an unfortunate step that they have to go through in order to get the house that they really, really want. So the smarter loan officers aren't out there trying to source a ton of loans or source a one-for-one quid pro quo. Instead, what they're doing is they're partnering with the agents to help them, with video home showings, or help them with their social media presence more, or help them sharpen their skills so when they do come across a qualified buyer, that they close that buyer faster and easier. And the partnership, the role of expanding the agent's business needs to look at all of those opportunities, because I can teach a realtor a skill that helps them attract business for the next 10 years of their career, or I can throw them a single lead.
Right. Great point.
So that, I challenge loan officers, think more broadly when you're looking at areas you can partner with.
Well, it raises the question, and I don't see this too often today, and it seems to me like certainly what I see with top originators, they have a hybrid approach. Obviously, they call the people that you've already mentioned, the three or four that are consistent generators of business, and the other ones that are once in a while. But the other side of it is they're working and are involved with the new agents that go through, the realtor schools, and they're active on the educational side for the newbies. And then that forms a relationship that, will translate into this 15 or 20 people that are the onesies and twosie people, and that certainly a percentage of them will become, your more dominant generators. What are your thoughts on that, of working with? I don't see many loan officers doing that anymore, and that really is a significant way of forming a relationship when the person's early in their career.
Yep. I think being active with new agents is very, very important. However, I see loan officers taking two very unfortunate extremes with this. So I'll see loan officers ignore the new folks entirely.
Yes.
And just skip out. Or I see them where they're almost only working with new agents. And, the reality is, if you take a look at the attrition rate of new agents, 24 months into the business, it's pretty extreme.
Right.
So you've got to have a certain amount of your business focused on these new agents, with the total and complete goal of that to understand and be able to start to recognize who the future stars are, but limit the amount of, especially one-on-one assistance that you're giving a lot of them. About a year ago back, I coached somebody in Texas, actually Georgetown, Texas, that was doing a ton of work with the new agents. And she was literally 50-hour weeks, but her fundings were just terrible. And it's because she hadn't really learned how to filter and prioritize the type of support she was giving the new agents. And frankly, the real estate brokers in the offices she was working with were kind of taking advantage of her as a resource to train and develop these guys. Mm-hmm. And she didn't put the proper boundaries around it. So great opportunity, but it needs to be managed as a part of your mix, not a single overwhelming strategy that is going to propel you to the top. That generally doesn't work that well.
Right. Well, no question. What I was really talking about, I'm always big on multiplier impacts. And so let's say if you teach a class for realtors, then you have 25 of them in a class or whatever it is. Yep. And then that way, there's going to be some percentage of them that are going to be the future stars. And those are the ones you would have formed relationship with. But that raises some other questions about some other tactical strategies about taking an agent that you have not done business. It could be A, they did business with you and the loan got turned down, so they're hostile. And this scenario of it's a cold agent and you haven't really, you don't know them and you haven't done business with. Maybe talk about those two situations. Someone where the loan got turned down and then you haven't gotten any business, or the second scenario where, you know, you're talking about someone that you don't know and you're trying to get them to be a funding partner.
Yep. Let's do the last one first, just because I think it has, that's certainly a situation that we should be investing a good part of every day and every week in, is that latter one you just talked about. So we've already talked about the importance of the unmet needs. I mean, because here's the reality, guys, is, you know, most of the agents you're dealing with, they already have a lending partner that they're at least lukewarm with. And sometimes the devil you know is actually better than the new devil that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so finding that unmet need, whether it's one that they're currently experiencing some pain around or a new one that you helped develop that they didn't know they had, that's critical. And you've got to do that. But then beyond that, you've got to create two other conditions that exist at the same time before they'll take a leap with you. And one of those is that you've got to create a marketing and a sales process that creates trust. They've got to trust you. And so your marketing needs to position you as the expert, and you've got to do a heavy amount of education to make that happen. Mm-hmm. A heavy dose of case studies and testimonials peppered in there will usually seal the deal. And then the second condition you have to make sure shows up is that they have to like you, because people will go out of their way to work with people that they like. It's just the way we're built. And if you forget that last piece, then you're in a lot of trouble as well. And, you know, that's just as simple as making sure that you're paying it forward so that you're providing value to people before you ask something of them. You've got to be positive. I was actually on sales calls with a loan officer in which at some point the conversation veered into a little bit of a griping session about the industry. That's not where you want to go. You got to resist talking about the industry in terms of challenges or issues, however easy it might be. And you've got to learn to be the guy or the gal that's talking about opportunities and solutions.
Right, right.
And that way you're the positive pro. That's, and then you have to be interested in people if they're going to like you as well. Because a lot of the marketing that I see out there and a lot of the sales calls, it can't be the me show. It has to be the what about you. What's that old quote? In fact, I don't remember who said it. Remember the old advice, people don't care what you know until they know that you care? Right. Who was that from?
I'm not sure, but it's it should be a mantra for most people in selling, because that's obviously what you're trying to convey at the end. Yep. Just talk a little bit, since we only have a few minutes left, about, let's say you had gotten an application from a realtor and they've became cold because maybe it got turned down or something happened. Talk about that situation.
So really, if I see somebody who gets a deal and then that deal's turned down and then nothing else comes out of that, that's a symptom that you didn't pre-position the first couple of deals correctly. So that's really just something, you sat down with the agent, you agreed that you were going to do business, a single loan came in, and you didn't take the time to talk about the strength of that file in terms of it not being the only one that you saw. Let me say it another way. So if I get my first pre-qual from an agent, I can very quickly understand how solid of a deal the loan is or isn't. Mm-hmm. And you just need to make sure you jump on the phone and say, look, you know, here's who you sent me. Here's the challenges with the file. Here's what I think I can or can't do immediately. But I do want to have a conversation with you about making sure that we don't judge the entirety of our new relationship on this single deal, because these challenges are going to be challenges regardless of where they go. So you've got to do a really good job making sure that you're never just selling one shot, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
That's what's missing.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think it's a setting of expectation and a communication issue. So maybe the realtor that became cold didn't really understand all the story with the consumer. So there could be lots of reasons.
I'll even go a step further. A lot of times when I get you, because agents have been known to throw you some of the colder deals or maybe the turn down at the first one. So usually if I was in the receiving end of a lead like that, I would call up and say, hey, I just talked to the Smiths. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be of service. I wanted to talk to you a little, you know, they have some unique challenge going on and I want to check, is this a challenge that's normal with all of your clients? And is this something that you're seeing all the time? Or do you agree with me that this is probably something that's a little more unique? And that's the path that I usually go down.
Right.
And you have to treat it gingerly because you can't over disclose and break the fiduciary responsibility you have to your client. But you certainly have to position it in a way that both you and the agent upfront agrees that this is not, you know, your everyday run-of-the-mill buyer in their world and that you're going to have a crack at another one.
Right. So just to wrap it up for today, if you had to give, you know, a couple takeaways regarding turning a cold agent to a funding partner, what would you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, absolutely. I would remind everybody of the big idea that the way you turn somebody from a relative unknown to an active partner with you is through serving them. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you've got to find a need or a want that you can fill. And you've got to have a process that's generating that trust and that empathy that they like you. And if you make sure that that path is the path forward as you're meeting new people, you'll hit home runs.
Well, I think that's great advice. And I think certainly in today's marketplace, every cold agent needs to be addressed and turned into a warm agent. That's for sure. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. And certainly, Bobby, that was really great.
Perfect. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.